smaller boards means fewer voices and less representation.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Coming up now is Ecologic with Ken Gale and Donna Stein, so stay tuned.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? We share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And this is Ecologic for February 18th, 2020, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
On today's news and announcements, UN warns about nuclear terrorists.
Greta Thunberg addresses world leaders.
Animals and nuclear power.
From United Nations News comes a warning. Radioactive material is a magnet for groups with malicious intent. The International Atomic Energy Agency has long been an advocate of nuclear power, but earlier this month said, from a possible cyber attack on a nuclear power plant to the illicit trafficking of radioactive materials, nuclear security is a growing international concern.
Greta Thunberg is out of the news cycle, but she hasn't been quiet and is still as brilliant as ever. BeyondNuclearInternational.org has reproduced her entire speech from earlier this month in Switzerland to a meeting of world leaders and embedded a video of that speech. We link to both on our eco.links page. Eco.links.
Eco-links.
Oh. Sorry, folks.
I've been studying energy issues for a long time. I still keep up with new developments, and there is a lot of really wonderful news coming from people working on renewable energy and energy efficiency. There's plenty of hope there. No matter what doom and gloom you read in the New York Times, they're out of touch with grassroots activists. Every year, there is enough energy efficiency in solar panels put up just in New York State that are more than the equivalent of the energy output of a nuclear power plant, about equal to 250,000 homes. That's without major support from politicians who are in office or running for office. Meanwhile, every time I read something I didn't know about nuclear power, I never get to react with, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Never. BeyondNuclearInternational.org has just published a booklet for free on their website about animals and nukes. Their newsletter last week had three articles on the effect of nuclear power on wildlife and pets.
We've known for decades about the deadly effects of the routine operation of nuclear plants on animals and plants in the water. Now there's been a comprehensive study on land animals, including wildlife and pets. And what affects our pets affects us. They get it worse because they're smaller body sizes, the same with why nuclear power operation harms children and women more than adult men. Partly, we want to read the entire articles for the whole show, but we won't. We'll just link to the articles from the Eco-Links page. The articles talk about wild tigers, hundreds of species of birds, indigenous rights, and national parks.
Some of you probably know people who think our energy choices are between different forms of poisonous power sources rather than between renewable energy and energy efficiency or poison power. You should find something in the Beyond Nuclear articles to tell them, especially people who want to protect animals because animals can't protect themselves.
The solution is obvious. Use energy more efficiently and shut these nuclear plants down, not extend their lifespans so they're even more dangerous. To get involved, shut down Indian Point Now in New York City definitely needs new volunteers. SDIPN.org or SDIPN at googlegroups.com. Go there. Help them out. Help yourself out. For Westchester and Rockland counties, IPSEC, I-P-S-E-C, is one of Ecologic's favorite environmental groups. IPSECinfo.org. In New Jersey, you can contact NJ Clean Water Action. That's cleanwaternj.org, or call 732-763-963. Thank you for being there. 732-963-9714. Or you can email our friend Sally at sjguu@aol.com. People still use AOL? All right.
All right. Should we repeat those? SDIPN.org, IPSECinfo.org, or cleanwaternj.org.
And all these links can be found on Eco-Links.
Yeah, our Eco-Links page. And pretty soon, Ecologic is going to be live streamed on the internet. So besides being live streamed, the video will be live streamed. Right now, the audio is live streamed on WBAI.org. And pretty soon, Charlie Olson from Environment TV is going to live stream the video on Facebook. And he's hoping to live stream it on YouTube. But we don't have quite enough followers. So if you go to The Environment TV, you need the Environment TV on YouTube, and just say you want to follow it. And so we need to get our numbers up there so that we can also live stream Ecologic on YouTube. The more people who get to learn the environmental information we give out, the better.
It's a great group of videos on that channel.
They are amazing.
If you're listening to the show, you'll definitely find things of interest on that channel. And I've got an invitation for you. You are invited this Friday, February 21st at 6:30 to New York City Friends of Clearwater Monthly Gathering. It's a party, folks. We have potluck, live music, and an environmental presentation on the third Friday of every month. This Friday is going to be Alicia Boyd speaking. She's with Flower Lovers Advocating for Communities. She's going to be speaking on the threatened situation with Brooklyn Botanical Gardens. There's some construction going on that will threaten the community. So it's a really important show. Many people here have been following the story on the Upper West Side where a building found a loophole to ignore community input and build a 54-story building. And the judge, thanks to community organizing folks, the judge ordered them to deconstruct the top 20 floors. They're fighting it in court. Everybody has a right to appeal. Not that corporations should be bodies, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say that one of our own environmental activists is obviously a housing activist as well, Olivia Freud. Olive Freud. And she's at the forefront of this movement to and won in court. So thank you, Olive. In the meantime,
she's one of those real quiet people who gets so much done.
An older woman. She's been an activist as long as many of you listening have been around. And then here we have another threat to the community of Brooklyn Botanic Gardens. With this development. So you'll want to come to New York City Friends of Clearwater 6:30 this coming Friday. And if you can bring something to share, that'd be nice. Otherwise, always some good eats there. And it's at Judson Memorial Church at 238 Thompson. I always get mixed up.
The Assembly Hall on Thompson Street.
Assembly Hall downstairs. And, we look forward to seeing you.
And the Botanic Gardens in New York City do more than just have little displays of flowers, because they're all very active in their communities outside their walls. Long-time listeners, they may remember a show where we had all three Botanic Gardens talk about what they do throughout the city. And it's amazing. They make the entire city healthier by their actions. And Environment TV, we're just talking about them, airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every other Sunday at 11 a.m. I know it's on Channel 34 on the Time Warner channel. I don't know what it is on the other one. It's often a video version of Ecologic. If you missed any WBAI show, it should be on the WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarize on any episode of Ecologic from the past few years, we link to all those articles on the EcoLinks page of the Ecologic website, www.ecoradio.org. Our Facebook page is WBAI Ecologic, no spaces or dashes, WBAI Ecologic. And please click like. For more environmental news, go to theenvironmenttv.com, biologicaldiversity.org, or ecowatch.com. www.ecoradio.org is the main Ecologic page, and there are several other pages connected to it, past guests, EcoLinks, and our own permanent archives, ecoradio.org.
Now, you might have heard somewhere along the line that BAI has had some problems with Pacifica in October. It's not all of Pacifica. It's just a rogue faction, as we say. And that group of people, actually it was a minority of the Pacifica board, but they felt empowered and they kicked our staff out. Took pictures off the wall, took our archives in October. We won in court. You've heard this news before, if you're a regular listener. Well, that same group is coming to all of Pacifica this time, and their line of attack is to change the bylaws of Pacifica, which would take away our democratic process, our rights, It's not a good thing, folks. But see, we're producers, and we're not allowed to tell you to vote yes or vote no, because every member, every one of you out there that's a member, and we hope that you, if you're not a member already, you'll become a member. We'll talk some more about that. Everybody who's a member will get a ballot, and that ballot will ask you to vote yes or no. As producers, we can't tell you what to vote, but I can tell you that, and I can give you both sides of the story, but I can tell you that it's the same group of people that kicked us out that are trying to get you to vote yes on the ballots. They say they have very convincing arguments. They say that, but we say that their arguments are not valid, right, and not true. So on the yes side, you have some pretty slick graphics. You have some pretty convincing arguments until you know the truth. How can I say this? But really, listen more, read more. Go to Fight Back, WBAFightBack.org. You can get a lot of information there. On the yes side, you can go to Pacifica.org and get both sides of the story. And vote your conscience, but please vote, because every vote counts. We are still recovering financially. Our BII buddies, we're still recovering from the takeover. And it was, as with union terms, it was a takeover and a shutdown. And we're really so happy that you're listening. And we're very important right now that you become, that you vote if you're already a member. You will be getting the ballots in the mail.
Any email ballots seem to have already gone out today.
Over the next few days. Today.
I know people who got them today.
So. Great. So when you get those email ballots, please send them back. When you have a small group of people, every vote is even more important. That's why you see people lose elections by 100 votes. This one, it could be even a smaller margin.
Yeah, I think it will be.
Yeah. So every vote counts. We need you to mobilize. For those of you who don't have email and will be getting something in the mail, look out for it. It will be, you'll be getting it in the next week or so. There's a WBAI Fight Back telephone number that has all the information I'm telling you now. That number is 917-781-0366. All right. Again, yeah, 917-781-0366. We prefer you not leave a message on that number, although you can. Wait, if you haven't gotten a ballot in the next 10 days, then leave a message, because we're all volunteers here.
And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.
And WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Donna Stein.
And my mic wasn't on. So, you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. And we have a guest today. And Adrian, welcome to WBAI.
Well, thank you for having me.
And tell us who you are.
I'd be happy to. I'm Adrian Esposito. I'm the executive director of Citizens Campaign for the Environment. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan environmental public health organization. We're a grassroots organization. We do research, lobbying, and public education. And we work throughout New York and Connecticut.
And, yeah, there's been a lot of water problems in the news lately. Yeah, New Paltz and Ossining and Newark's had an ongoing problem. And of course, most people listening to this show would know about Flint, Michigan's ongoing problems, but they extend a lot further than those places, don't they?
Yes, there has been numerous water quality challenges and problems, and actually even some crises throughout New York State, upstate New York, downstate, particularly Long Island has had a lot of issues as of late as well. And, you know, it's a myriad of issues, frankly. People think, you know, we all kind of take it for granted, right? We turn on the water, on the faucet, the water comes out, and we just think it's clean and everything's good to go. But there's a lot that goes into that. And we have a lot of toxic chemicals that have been really emerging in the news. We have aging infrastructure that deals with our sewage infrastructure. So there has been a lot, as you just said, about water quality and water contamination.
And is there a commonality to all these different problems?
Well, some of it is because you have aging infrastructure. You know, for instance, our sewage treatment plants, a lot of them are old, frankly. If you look what happened in New Paltz recently couldn't drink their water because of an underground fuel pipe that belonged to the heating system of the sewage treatment plant. And, it broke. So, unfortunately, the fuel pipe contaminated the drinking water supply.
Wow.
So, when you have aging infrastructure like we do, that's the problem. So what's happening is a lot of these sewage plants are owned by municipalities. Municipalities in New York State are working very hard to keep within the 2% cap on how much we can raise, they can raise taxes. So they're pushing aside or postponing upgrading necessary infrastructure like fixing sewage treatment plants.
Uh-huh.
Now, you can't blame them. They're trying to keep taxes down. But on the other hand, upgrading our sewage treatment plants is a necessity. It's not a luxury item. And the good news is the state has been doing, I have to say, a great job in providing funding and grants. In 2017, a historic amount of $2.5 billion was put into the New York State budget, which allows municipalities to access grants to upgrade our sewage treatment plants. That's very good and very good news, and we're very glad the state did that. Last year, they added $500 million. This year, we're lobbying them to add another billion. We like to say the pipes are not going to fix themselves. We have to advocate for this, and we have to continue to advance upgrading sewage treatment plants and drinking water, plants.
Now, I remember you mentioned Long Island's water, and I know back in the 80s, people on Long Island would not drink the water because there was chemical contamination in it. Have those chemicals gone away and we've got a new problem, or we just have another problem added to the chemicals?
We have new problems and we have old problems. We have a lot of problems. I have articles, news articles, that date back to the 60s that talk about the quality of Long Island's drinking water. You think we would have learned lessons and made changes, but unfortunately that has not happened. So on one hand, Long Island has done some great things like preserve a lot of land and open space. That allows us to have a better quality and quantity of drinking water.
Right.
Because 100% of Long Island's water comes from directly underneath our feet in aquifers. But on the other side of the coin, we still unfortunately, and this is a claim to fame we don't want on Long Island, but we have, Suffolk County is called the septic capital of the world. Of the world. We're world renowned for how many septic systems we have. And the bottom line is we have, just in Suffolk County alone, 380,000 cesspools and septic systems on a little island. So we have the highest, the largest number of them in the smallest area. And, septic systems don't really treat your sewage. And it leaches out into that groundwater, which is our drinking water supply.
Right.
And then that eventually leaches out into our bays and our harbors and our estuaries. So we have a lot of challenges in those septic systems on not only sewage, what are all of the household chemicals that we use? So that's the second greatest challenge for all of New York, and Connecticut, by the way, and New Jersey, are these new, what's called emerging contaminants. Those are chemicals that we're just now testing for that were not on the radar screen 10 or 20 years ago. And they're chemicals like PFOA and PFOS and 1,4-dioxane that unfortunately we're finding. That's what happened in Hoosick Falls. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that is the upstate community that had very high levels of PFAS in them, which is a very serious chemical. And they were not allowed to drink their water, and they had to get filtration systems, carbon filtration systems installed to filter out this highly toxic chemical.
So there's a lot of different problems depending on which municipality you're talking about. I remember going to a press conference of some New York State politician about a specific water problem. And during the Q&A, I said, you know, how come we just don't simply protect all the water systems of the whole state? Instead of protecting them from one thing in one place, protect them all from everything. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And said, no, no, we're just protecting this water supply from this thing. And would not let me answer ask any more questions for the rest of the press conference.
So, well, it is more complicated than it seems. So, for instance, New York City has done a great job. They, you know, their drinking water comes from upstate reservoirs. And what New York City has done a lot of which New York City has protected that, those reservoirs by simply purchasing the areas around the reservoir and making sure that there isn't heavy industry and there isn't, you know, dumping of a lot of chemicals in the drinking water source. And that's helped. So a lot of New York City and even some Westchester communities drink from the New York City reservoir system. Long Island, on the other hand, drinks from underground. So everything we do on the surface, every industry, every gas station that's ever leaked,
right,
every sewage, it discharges into the ground and mixes with the drinking water. So you're absolutely right. We have different problems in different areas in different communities.
And Adrian, we have another. We have an additional problem in New York City because even though the water comes from a 10,000-year-old aquifer and it's clean water, it's wonderful, but our aging pipes are leaching heavy metals. That's why it's still good to have a filter, because you want to get those heavy metals from the pipes that is dirtying the water as it comes into our sinks. So it's still not perfect, right?
Well, no drinking water supply is perfect, but I just want to say New York City does not drink from an aquifer. New York City drinks from upstate reservoirs.
Got it.
Long Island drinks from an aquifer.
But our pipes are still the problem.
It is shocking to me when I find out, particularly about our sewage infrastructure pipes. Some of them are 100 years old. They were made from clay. They were made from, you know, materials that are literally falling apart. But that's not just true for New York City. Every major city in the U.S., you know, all this stuff is old. But with pipes and heavy metals, one of the biggest concerns, frankly, are schools. Schools still have some very old lead to deal with in, for instance, the joint pieces of the pipes that leach into drinking water. And we're actually working right now on getting some legislation to lower the permissible lead levels in water. So yes, again, that speaks to the aging infrastructure, Donna, you know, across our state and really across America.
And we'll be playing excerpts from an interview with Sonja Steingraber and Ruth Kaplan about bottled water and the plastic it comes in. They'll go into great detail on what leaches into bottled water from the plastic. And so it's a case of, I guess what we want everybody to do is contact their local legislatures and tell them, spend the money to clean the water infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is, you know, as soon as the federal government starts squabbling about this thing and the other thing, one of the things they could come together on is the issue of water. Water is a nonpartisan issue.
Right.
There's nobody against clean water that I've met in my 30 years of doing this. But so the federal government could actually come together and work collaboratively on a clean water or infrastructure bill that would allocate federal funds to upgrade our sewage treatment system and our drinking water supply system.
What about that Bond Act that they're trying to pass?
I was going to say, and number two, yes, you're exactly right, Donna, is the governor has proposed a Restore Mother Nature $3 billion Environmental Bond Act. We have to get that passed the Senate and the Assembly in New York State. We are getting a lot of support. We've spoken to a lot of senators and a lot of Assembly members who understand the need for this. So we're hopeful. And then, though, that Bond Act has to go to the voters. So all of the voters out there who are listening, if this gets past the legislature, which I am optimistic and believe it will, then voters will go to the polls in November, and we need them to understand that a yes vote would provide for cleaner water and more resilient coastline, because the Bond Act will be designed to not only give us clean water, but also help us make us more resilient to rising sea levels, something we need to do, restore wetlands, and other important, storm-resistant components.
Let me just make a quick little plug. To our members, this is not to be confused with the yes vote for anything else. You want to have a no vote. We don't want to tell you to vote yes or no on anything to do with the Pacifica bylaws. But we definitely don't want to tell you to vote yes.
Right. Adrian Esposito was talking about a bond issue in November, not the Pacifica vote right now.
No, this would be an environmental bond issue on your regular ballot when we all go to the booth in November. We all know we have a presidential race going on. We have congressional race on, state senate, assembly members, and an environmental bond act.
And usually the bond issues are on the back of the ballot.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
And it's amazing. People do not know there is a back of the ballot.
There's a 50% drop-off. People will go and vote on the front of the ballot and just don't know to turn the ballot over and then vote on the Bond Act. So half of our battle is just educating folks that they want to flip the ballot over and remember to vote on those ballot initiatives.
I hate to mention a discouraging... I hate that some people often say that they flip a coin. Some uninformed people say they flip a coin on what to vote for. It's like, what? Hmm. Are you kidding? So,
We want to get to playing that show with Tanya Steingraber and Ruth Kaplan about bottled water. So we're going to end our interview with Adrian Esposito. And what is your website?
People, if they want more information about 1,4-dioxane in drinking water or other water issues, they can go to our website at citizenscampaign.org. And follow us on Facebook.
Okay, citizenscampaign.org.
And I have to apologize, Adrian. Manager Green from the Environment Director from Clearwater wanted to be on with you tonight. So the next time we have you on the show, we'll have you two exciting, terrific, informative women on at the same time so you can play off each other.
Great. Happy to come back. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Now, one thing very important, we really need you, your support right now. We need you to send in your ballots. We can't tell you to vote yes or no, but we do need you to vote. And that means that you're a member. Well, guess what? You can still become a member. You may not be able to vote this time, but you'll be able to vote another time. And it's so important that you become a WBAI buddy. We've got some wonderful premiums for you tonight, one particular one that Ken will go into. I want to give you a picture. You, for some of you listen to radio. All of you listen a lot. Some of you listen to radio a little. Some of you watch TV. Some of you don't watch TV at all. If you watch TV, you're probably paying some good money to the cable television stations, right? I want you to do this. Figure out how many hours a day or week you listen, a month, you listen and watch cable television, and how much you listen to radio. Think about how much money you're spending. It's so expensive, cable television these days. And how much, and divide that by how many hours you listen to BAI. You'd be surprised at how much value you're getting.
Yeah, especially when people are always saying there's nothing good on TV. There's 1,000 channels, there's nothing any good on. And WBAI has lots of good on. And we don't have commercials. And so we ask you to donate to the station. Every few months we come on and ask you to fill in the gaps that the corporations fill in for commercial television. And the people who have to pay their monthly fee fill in for the cable companies. And you still get commercials there. So
please go to 516-620-3602 and pledge to become a WBAI buddy. You can go to give to WBAI.org. There's a little drop-down box to become a BAI buddy. Please put in that Ecologic is your favorite show.
And if you do put in Ecologic as your favorite show, you'll get a thumb drive with four wonderful premiums on it all together, and you'll get that just for becoming a WBAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We did a wonderful show on butterflies, and Charlie Olson did a beautiful job making it into a video. And of course, you can't do a bad video when you're talking about butterflies, but we had three butterfly experts and a former butterfly collector on that show, and just a wonderful show. That's one of the items on that thumb drive. Radio show, the episode of Ecologic about bottled water and the plastic it comes in, you can get that as a separate premium for a $30 donation, or you become a BAI buddy and it's on the thumb drive. And we'll be playing excerpts of that. The movie on Navajo uranium mining, what's going on in the Southwest, what's happening to the Dene people, and with uranium mining and milling and everything. It's a beautiful movie because it's being shot in the desert, but heartrending of what it's doing to the people there. And then I did a lecture on Connecting the Dots, where I talked about renewable energy and pipelines and fracking and nuclear power and fuel oil conversion and indigenous rights, and I connected everything. And John Duffy did a DVD of that, and that's on this thumb drive. So all four of those things are on this thumb drive that you get if you become a BAI buddy and put Ecologic in as your favorite show.
That's a great premium.
And if you're already a BAI buddy, I guess if you up it by a little bit, you will also get that. But it's a wonderful premium. A thumb drive, also called a flash drive. If your computer is 10 years old or younger, there's a USB port and it hooks right in. If it's a laptop, it's on the side usually, sometimes in the front. If it's a desktop, it's in the front and or the back or both. And it just hooks right in, and your computer will be able to play these movies or the radio show. So it's three DVDs and a CD on a flash drive that you put into your computer and listen to it whenever you want. And the show Bottled Water and the Plastic It Comes In you can go to WBAI.org. You can go to give2WBAI.org and get that premium. So, and we'll play a excerpt from it right now. And this show was done before I realized that Sonja Steinweber is a goddess. She was still living in Illinois at the time. Ecologic, we deal with issues before they become the in thing to deal with. There are some environmental issues that become kind of fashionable for a little while, and then people forget about them. We deal with them before they become fashionable, and we continue to deal with them afterwards. It's part of the beauty of our news and announcements section at the beginning of the show and all the guests we have on. Don and I are in contact with an awful lot of different environmental activists who do a lot of wonderful work. You just heard one of them, Adrian Esposito. We bring you this now every week for an hour and go into great depth. We don't do sound bites except for the news section because these are complex issues. And we don't want to just say, there's this problem. We always give a solution to every problem we bring up. And that's part of the beauty of having this time, that we can go into detail and then go into detail on how to fix the problem. And there's always some sort of a solution. Sometimes it's a political solution. Sometimes it's a personal solution, but there's always something you can do about it. So here are...
And one thing is keeping WBAI on the air. We need you to want that CD, that thumb drive with the WBAI shows on it. Go to give2wbai.org or call the pledge drive number at 516-620-3602 and join us. Support us. Support yourself.
And so here is that show.
A couple of shows have been, feel-good shows about, solar power and green architecture. And this will be a little different. I have two guests. And I'll have you guys introduce yourselves so that people have a voice to go with the names rather than me doing it for you. Sandra, we'll start with you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sandra Steingraber. I'm an author and a biologist and a visiting scholar here at Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York.
And give us some of the books you've done.
I'm the author of a book called Living Downstream, which is kind of two books in one. It tells the story of my diagnosis with bladder cancer and my return home to my hometown in Illinois to become a kind of environmental detective there, looking for environmental links to my own disease, and as well as it represents my best attempt as a biologist to summarize the links between cancer and the environment, including chemical contaminants that we're exposed to through drinking water. I'm more recently the author of a book called Having Faith, named after my now 8-year-old daughter, Faith, and I'll leave it to listeners to ponder why a cancer survivor might name a child Faith. And this is an exploration of the field of fetal toxicology, which looks at environmental threats to pregnancy and early infancy.
And I should mention that Living Downstream, there's excerpts on the internet. If you do a search for Living Downstream, you'll find bits and pieces of the book and give you a nice taste of what's in there. And Ruth.
Hi, I'm Ruth Kaplan. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I chair the Alliance for Democracy's campaign on defending water for life. We're very active in the Northeast and also on the West Coast. I'm also the chair of the National Sierra Club's Water Privatization Task Force, and we've been doing a lot of work on bottled water with both of those organizations.
So we get an awful lot of ads and bottles, pictures on bottles of how wonderful bottled water is, isn't it?
It's interesting. Nestle has a lot of brands, and one of its brands is Ice Mountain. It makes it look like it's coming from the Rockies or something like that. It's really coming from Michigan. So there's a lot of deceptive advertising that they're doing. The first thing that people need to know is that when you drink either Dasani or Aquafina water, that's put out, Dasani by Coca-Cola and Aquafina by Pepsi, that is simply tap water, which has been put through some extra filters and then sold for many, many times the cost of tap water. I did a little study in Boston and found that those two brands were about 1,200 times the cost of turning on your tap.
So it's 200 times more than 1,000 times the cost of a tap. And I should mention that one of the places that Coca-Cola bottles their Dasani water is right here in Queens. In Maspeth, Queens, they bottle Dasani water. So, and it's New York City tap water. And it's interesting that a company that was called New York City Water, they bottled New York City water and were upfront about it. Well, they went out of business. Whereas Coca-Cola can bottle New York City tap water, call it something else, and everybody goes, oh, this is so much better than New York City water.
The other company that is actually number one in bottled water sales is Nestle. They bottle under a number of different brands. And in the New York area, the brands that you're most likely to get are Poland Spring, which comes from Maine, and also Deer Park, which is bottled in Pennsylvania. Now, these are spring water sources. And what it's important to know is that the bottled water is not regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency like our municipal water is. It's regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. Somehow there's an amazing transformation that once water goes into a bottle, it's no longer water, it's a food. Would you believe it? So FDA does not do inspections itself. It depends on the industry. They're only required to test once a month. And as a result, there have been a lot of studies showing the problems with bottled water. And, for instance, the Natural Resources Defense Council did a study looking at 1,000 different brand bottles of 103 brands of bottled water. They found contamination exceeding allowable limits in at least one sample from about a third of the brands. This is included. They found synthetic organics, bacteria, and arsenic. The other thing that's come up recently is that they're finding that as soon as another study done in Europe, not the NRDC, has found that as soon as you cap the bottles of water, antimony starts to leach into the water. And after 3 months, the level of antimony, which, of course, is toxic, has risen by 175 times. So there's quite a few problems just with the water that goes into the bottled water. The problems with the plastic itself is a whole other set of concerns.
Well, a friend of mine, well, Chris Kampanik, who does a comic strip called HIV and Me, was told, and then therefore put it in a strip, that bottled water is better than tap water. It's regulated better, although he did specify make sure you get bottled water that has to cross straight lines because it's better regulated. And he pointed out that certainly the tap water in Milwaukee is a lot more unsafe than bottled water. Have things changed?
Well, I think that, first of all, the reason that you know that the water in Milwaukee has a problem is that it is very carefully tested by EPA. It's not that all municipal water is perfect. We have a responsibility as citizens to make sure that our municipal water authorities are meeting the EPA standards. Mm. And it's important to know that that water is tested many times a day, and the bottled water is not tested that way. Now, when Coke and Pepsi use municipal water, of course, it's already been tested by
right.
the EPA, but not Nestle's water or any other of the smaller brands that sells spring water that is not tested that way.
Well, let me chime in here with a couple of ecological observations as well. I mean, in addition to these kind of amazing revelations that Ruth is offering us, I'd like to add that even if the bottled water were everything the advertising claimed it was, and far more pure and safe than our tap water. In fact, two things. First of all, we we all have an intimate relationship with our tap water, whether we drink it or not. And that's because most of our exposure to chemical contaminants in tap water don't come to us through drinking, but rather through inhalation. And that happens every time you turn on your dishwasher, or you step into a shower, or you turn on your washing machine, or even flush your toilet and create turbulence. The volatile contaminants will evaporate into your airspace, and you will breathe them in. And when we've quantified this, it turns out
when you say volatile contaminants, what do you mean?
Well, I'm talking about things like byproducts from chlorination. These are things called trihalomethanes. Talking about pesticides, or in the case of my hometown drinking water, there were trace amounts of dry cleaning fluid, perchloroethylene. So these are volatile, meaning they quickly evaporate, and when you raise the temperature of the water, for example, by taking a shower, it turns out that bathing and showering is the exposure equivalent of drinking a half a gallon of tap water. So you can drink all the bottled water you want from France or Iceland or Fiji, but you take a 10-minute shower, and that's the exposure equivalent of drinking a half a gallon of tap water. So we cannot opt out of the water cycle. We are a part of our drinking water, whether we carry bottled water around or not. And in fact, you might remember those children that were profiled in the movie and book called A Civil Action. Very good book, sort of mediocre movie starring John Travolta. Those kids in Woburn, Massachusetts, their parents alleged there was a cancer cluster of leukemias in those kids from contaminated drinking water. Interestingly enough, part of what came out in the trial was that many of that water was so contaminated it tasted bad. So, in fact, a lot of the parents bought bottled water for their children to drink. They got leukemia anyway, and the route of exposure was through the contamination of indoor air. So we really can't save ourselves by drinking bottled water. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that even if this water were so much better for our health, it's just not a sustainable option to tap water. I mean, water is heavy. It weighs 8 pounds a gallon. And spending all this fossil fuel transporting water from France, Iceland, Fiji, wherever, to us here in New York State is just not a sustainable practice. Ruth made mention of the manufacturing and disposal of the plastic bottles itself. That's something I've done some investigative work into. And the environmental impacts of that are considerable. So I actually follow the noted economist Monica Hargreaves in my thinking on this. You know, Monica has flown around the world and helped nation states with their currency, has helped start a local currency here in Ithaca. And she's also a master composter. And when people ask her, well, how does composting and economics fit together? She'll say, well, I like both things because I hate waste. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel as an ecologist. Drinking bottled water is a very wasteful practice. It's not like organic food. And so whether you're motivated by your own health to think about drinking water, or whether you're motivated by larger ecological concerns and a concern for generating more waste, in either case, whether you're thinking collectively or individually, bottled water really doesn't make sense.
And just to add to what you said, Sandra, the figures that we have, it's about 10 billion bottles of plastic a year that gets thrown along the roadside and into our landfills.
10 billion with a B?
Yes, with a B. And it's not the companies, the corporations that are paying for that landfill cost. It's taxpayers.
And that was Sandra Steingraber and Ruth Kaplan talking about bottled water and the plastic it comes in and how, and of course a lot about our drinking water as well. The entire interview is available for a $30 donation. You can go to givetowbai.org, givetowbai.org, or call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. $30 donation or a $75 donation will get you five different episodes of Ecologic, including that one. One on fracking, one on the electricity grid, one on the health effects of indoor plants, and one on the 1-year anniversary of the BP oil spill. But you get You get the bottled water and the plastic. It comes in along with several other, along with three different DVDs, one on butterflies with three different butterfly experts and a butterfly enthusiast, one on a movie on uranium mining called The River That Harms, one of the most popular premiums that Ecologic has had, and that's on a thumb drive with those other two shows, and a Connect the Dots talk that I gave, connecting nine different environmental issues, all connecting, all overlapping. Those four are on a thumb drive that you can get by becoming a BAI buddy and putting Ecologic in as your favorite show, Eco-Logic. If you put Ecologic as your favorite show, you will get a thumb drive with the butterfly show, the water show, the uranium mining show, and the Connect the Dots show. And thumb drive, you just put it in your computer, whether it's a laptop or a desktop. They've all got USB ports, and you just plug it in, and your computer will recognize it as another drive, and you'll be able to view anything in there. Most computers are set up so that it'll start automatically when you plug it in. And if you don't know what a USB port is, just find the one that it fits. When you get the thumb drive, it'll fit something, and that's what you play. So we need BAI buddies so we can stop having these long fun drives, really.
Well, just so that we know what our budget is, how much right there. We won't need as long a long fun drive.
If we know what the budget is, we know, okay, well, we only need 2 weeks worth of a fun drive instead of four.
And with my example before of how much money you're spending on your cable TV, of you who still have television, we think about it in that respect. How much you spend going to the movies, how much you spend on food, how much you spend on your cable television bill is a great analogy. Think about the fact that radio needs your help. Listener-sponsored radio. You're the listener.
Mm-hmm.
You have the sponsorship ability. We need your sponsorship.
Yep. I mean, the Pacifica Foundation invented listener-supported radio back in 1949. People thought Lou Hill was crazy, and it turned out to be a wonderful success story that was copied by NPR, which didn't exist in 1949. So we know that people will support quality programming, and we hope that you think of Ecologic as quality programming, and you will support us by becoming a BAI buddy. That thumb drive is just absolutely wonderful gift. You don't have to pay extra. Just become a BAI buddy. And the money will be taken right out of your credit card or your bank account, you know, whatever you prefer, whatever style is easiest on your budget. And, $10 from you may not seem a whole lot, but $10 from, 1,000 different listeners adds up to, hey, only short fun drives from now on, and we all want that.
And if you're already a BAI buddy on another show, signifying another show, you can still be a BAI buddy again.
Yeah,
and you can give to each show that you love.
I've seen people designate three different shows when they become BAI buddies. But we need you to have a substantial BAI buddiness to Ecologic to get that thumb drive, and it's a wonderful gift. The butterflies DVD alone is worth it. The bottled water and the plastic comes in alone is worth it. The liver that harms is definitely worth it. So come on in, and there's so much to do. So we're about to leave here, and so please, I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And this has been Ecologic, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Look, a bylaws referendum is underway. February 18th is the start of the balloting phase, and all valid members will receive an e-ballot, paper ballot, or postcard with unique voter ID and PIN to cast your vote in favor of or against. The proposed bylaws will change how directors get on the Pacifica National Board. Six of the 11 directors called at-large directors will be appointed as part of the bylaws vote, and five will be elected subsequent to the vote, one from listener members at each station. The proposed bylaws will remove local elected station boards. Proponents state that Pacifica needs to be more like a broadcasting business and less like a government. The opponents state that the proposal abandons democracy, accountability, and local oversight. For more information or to contact the election supervisor,